Be upstanding everywhere you are. And let's lift up our hands and voices and appreciate the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords for his goodness, for his mercies. Father, we thank you for a day like this, the day you have made, the day we shall rejoice, and the day we are glad in. Father, we ask that you breathe upon this service this morning. Let nobody leave here the same way they have come. Blessed be your name. In Jesus' precious name. Give the Lord a big clap of hand as you take your seat. I want to welcome everyone here. Asaphites, the youth, church, choir. Your uniform is very beautiful. I'm sure we'll get more of this with your very reddish bow tie. I think I'm in the spirit wearing your color with you. Give the Lord a big clap for them, and your ministration was equally powerful. Please be seated. Welcome everyone here today. We had a most exciting and explosive time at the FCT Sports Complex yesterday and Friday and Thursday. God helped us immensely to pray and intercede for our nation, and we shall begin to hear shortly the impact. Before the service is over, we will show you the clips of how that went. Say the loudest amen. We are on to the subject of relationship and marital wisdom, part 2. Our objective this morning, we shall identify foundational truths about marriage, foundational truths about marriage. We shall understand the purpose of marriage, and then we shall unravel relationship and marital wisdom. Foundational truth about marriage, understanding the purpose of marriage, and unraveling relationship and marital wisdom. So many things were said in the first service, and it will be very, very difficult to go through all of them because of the volume of what we had said so far. But I'd like you to try and pick that up, because it's exactly half of what I'm about to say that I said in the last service, and very, very important things. But by way of introduction, marriage, I said in the first service, is such an important subject, important institution, that deserves far more attention than it is currently given. Far more attention. Why is marriage so important? I mentioned 3 things in the first service, and I'm going to mention another 3 in this service. Number 1, or which is number 4 now, marriage is so important because it is the oldest institution in the world. Oldest institution. Older than education. Older than cities, older than communities, is the oldest institution in the world. When in Genesis chapter 2, verse 21 and 24, the Lord God caused the deep sleep to fall upon man, and he took one of the ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof, then he joined the marriage, in verse 24. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. It's the oldest institution in the world. Number 2, marriage is important because it was God himself who joined the first wedding. God joined the first, he officiated the first marriage. He. And whatever God is involved in must be very important. Hallelujah. Thirdly, marriage is so important that even though the Son of God did not need the seed of man to be born, yet he had to come through a marriage setting. Did you get that? Even though the Son of God did not need the seed of man to be born, yet he had to come through a marriage setting. Jesus was to be born by a virgin. A virgin could be found anywhere. And as a matter of fact, a virgin means someone who has not known a man, which means she's not married. But God had to locate a virgin that was in a marriage context. Because the Son of God had to come from a marriage context. In Luke chapter 1, verse 26, and 27. Do you understand that? That is, God honors marriage to a point. He honored marriage and honors marriage to a point that he had to dignify the arrival of his son by being born in a setting of marriage. I think I have one more to give. Thirdly, or fourthly now for this service, marriage is so important that the first miracle Jesus performed in the whole world happened at a marriage. The first miracle he ever performed happened at a wedding occasion. That was John chapter 2 from verse 1 all the way to verse 11. If Jesus valued the marriage to a point where he decided that his first miracle must happen at a wedding, then marriage must not be treated as shabbily as many people treat marriage today. Having said that, foundational truth, I mean, the importance of marriage, let's look at some truths that are foundational for marriage. Again, like I said, we said many in the first service, up to five of them. And we may not be able to. Alright, maybe I will just quickly rush through. Not for the sake of writing, but just for the sake of. We said at first that God is the originator, initiator, and founder of marriage. We said that in the first service, he's the originator, initiator, and founder of marriage. Second, we said that marriage was instituted for the help and assistance and succor of the marriage partners. That is, marriage was instituted so that the man can help the wife and vice versa. We said also that God caused the deep sleep to come on the man so that God can be allowed to prepare what is best for man without man's interference. And then we also said that the woman was created from the rib, taken from close to the heart of the man, because she was created to be loved. And then fifthly, we say that the devil is agitated about God's plan and purpose for the marriage. Now, let us look at five other points on the foundation of marriage. Number one, marriage was instituted for security and safety of the marriage of the parties involved. The security and the safety of the parties involved. There is a way in which the wife is security to the man's life. And there is a way in which the man is security to the woman's life. In Jeremiah chapter 31 and in verse 22, he said, "And how long will thou go about, O thou backsliding daughter? For the Lord hath created a new thing in the earth. A woman shall compass a man. A woman shall compass a man. A woman shall surround a man. A man shall surround his wife." There are many who would have been dead before their time, or maybe ran mad, if not for the kind of wife God gave them, or the kind of husband God gave them. I heard a story that happened in the middle of the Nigerian Civil War. The soldiers' eyes were very red, and things were happening. And there was this man who had offended the soldiers at that time. I think they demanded to use his vehicle or his vehicle transportation for their military business and agenda at that time. It was in the heat of the war. And the man had refused, or maybe he had an excuse that he wasn't going to give them his vehicle or something. And then something else happened. And suddenly one of the soldiers cocked his gun and said, "They are going to waste him. It is you people we are fighting for, and you are there messing up." And the wife of this man just ran in between the gun and the man and stood in the front and said, "You want to kill him? Kill me first. What will I do about my children?" He said the soldier's eyes was as red as red. And he carried the man and handed him over to the woman. And said, "Madam, take your husband." He said, "You man, for your information, it is this woman that saved you. A woman shall compass a man. Your husband is helped from vulnerability by your influence around him. Your wife is helped from her vulnerability by surrounding him." That is why I don't understand the arrangement where a man is in one place and the woman is in another place and marriage is still holding. For safety, for coverage. Number two, the marriage institution number two, the relationship between the man and his wife is like the relationship of flesh and bones with each other. The relationship of bones and flesh with each other. Genesis 2:23. He said, "This is the bone of my bone and the flesh of my flesh." The wife is the bone of the man's bone and the flesh of the man's flesh.
The husband is the bone of the woman's bone and the flesh of the woman's flesh. It's an intricate relationship. It's an intertwining relationship. That is why marital disagreements cause a lot of pain. Marital disharmony causes a lot of pain. Because you cannot tear flesh from flesh without pain. You can't tear bone from bone without pain. It causes so much pain. Because that is what it is. Number three, for marriage to be successful, there must be a living before there can be a cleaving. A living before there can be a cleaving. Genesis 2 and in verse 24, he said, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave to his wife. And they shall be one flesh. I will come to that later. But there must be a living before there can be a cleaving. Any man or woman who allows the undue influence of external people, especially family people, to interfere and control their relationship, they don't have a marital future. Any man, any woman, who allows mother and father, brother and sister to have so much influence in their home, they don't have a marital future. Because there must be a living before there can be a cleaving. And there is just one exception. That exception is, if the person you are married to is abusive of your life to the point where it hurts and injures your destiny, you don't keep it away from your family. You don't keep it away from your loved ones so that your life can be rescued. Beyond that, every undue influence into the day-to-day relationship of husband and wife in a home, every such undue interference is signature for failure. There must be a living before there can be a cleaving. I'll come to that later on. Is God speaking to anybody here at all? Very important. Number four now. Openness. Mutual openness is key to marital success. Mutual openness. The Bible said in Genesis 2:25. Therefore shall he say, and they were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. Mutual openness is key to marital success. There are spouses who deliberately don't want their partner to know who they are. The wife, the man doesn't really know the wife, and the wife doesn't really know the man. This man has money somewhere and the woman is not aware. This girl has a child somewhere and the man is not aware. I've actually seen a relationship where the child of the lady is growing in the house of the couple and they are not, and the man is not aware that it's the wife's child. It's a cousin, it's a nephew, it's a relation that is a house help, helping in the house. Disaster. Wahala day. That will never be your portion in the name of Jesus Christ. Openness. But there are situations where openness becomes difficult, like I preached in the last service, where a man opens himself to you and you use it against him. Where the woman opens herself to you and you use it against her. It becomes impossible to trust another time. But the rule, if there must be marital success, there must be mutual openness. Finally, the enemy targets marital harmony and dignity. Between marriage couples, the enemy targets marital harmony and dignity between married couples. He targets it. When a man and his wife are united, when they are happy, the enemy is unhappy. Am I communicating? I want you to bear that in mind. The devil is a sadist. Anything that makes people happy, he's angry with it. You know, I said in the first service, when God created man, the devil did not move. When God created animals, the devil did not move. But when God created a woman and joined the home, in Genesis chapter 2 verse 24, 25, when he joined the home, look at that again. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. The next verse said, now the serpent. Next verse. The serpent did not move until the home was formed. And look at the impact of the serpent's move. When God brought Eve to Adam, what did Adam say? Genesis 2:23. This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. This woman and me, we are one. We are one. She is the bone of my bone. She is the flesh of my flesh. But after the devil attacked, Adam changed language. Genesis chapter 3 verse 12. Look at the language of Adam. And the woman said, the woman, in fact, back up to verse 11 first. And God is telling Adam, who's told you that you are naked? Have you eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that you should not eat? And the man said, the woman whom you gave to be with me, hola, hola. It's not bone of your bone again. It's not flesh of your flesh again. What happened? The woman. In fact, he was blaming God. Number one, you are the one who gave me the woman. Number two, I don't even have anything to do with her. She's just staying beside me here. Don't ever forget. Every time the devil see you and your wife and family happy, he moves to spoil it. He's a sadist. He has manic depressive illness. If you want to know how the devil behaves, see those he possess. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Just look at how calm and cool and collected I'm looking. Because I carry the spirit of God. Look at those who carry the spirit of the devil. Is he that pursuing somebody on the road? Hair is scattered. He's depressed. He's all manner. The devil fights beauty. Don't forget it. He fights beauty. He fights harmony. He fights dignity. He fights decency. Anything that is beautiful, anything that is dignified, anything that is decent, the devil hates it. But I see today God giving you victory over that devil. Somebody say aloud, amen. Somebody say aloud, amen. Somebody say the loud, but say amen. Say after me, say whether the devil likes it or not, I must be successful. Say it louder, say whether the devil likes it or not, I must be successful in my relationships. I must be. Having said all of that, what wisdom do we need for marital relationship? Again, I said 7 things in the first service. We can't go over them because of time. But let's start from number 1, which will be like number 8 for the overall. First, marry. All right, number 1, trust God for a partner who truly loves and fears God. Truly. I say truly loves and fears God. Because every authentic child of God who loves and fears God, every authentic one will be a good wife and a good husband. That was why the Bible said in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 14 that we should be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Unequal yoking. It's like hitching a cow and a goat. And I can tell you, my brothers and sisters, the reason why you must allow God to assist you in the process of marriage, because not all that glitters is gold. You can get a good brother in church, very, very, very humble looking, very, very, very decent looking, looks like a gentleman, but he's a demon on the inside. Am I communicating? Haven't you heard people say, but we met in church. We met in church. We met in church. Oh yes, Satan attends church too. Judas Iscariot was in church. That is why. Do you know that there are many people who pretend to be Christians who come to church? I think I've told you this story before. Take your seat. Of a man who came to church because he says in his heart, if I go to church, I will find a good Christian lady to marry. All these Jezebels and all these rarish girls on the road, I can't marry any of them. So he packaged himself as a Christian and came to church. A drunkard. Then a lady also came to church. And she said, it's good to get a good churchman to marry. They will treat you well. They will love you. So she packaged herself and pretended that she has changed and came to church. The unfortunate thing was that the two of them found each other. They found each other. The man found the woman and they both pretentiously married each other. When they reach home, the man opened his bottle of beer. The woman lit her cigarette. 1-1. The man said, I thought you were a Christian. The woman said, me too. That was how the house exploded in flames. I'm telling you a real story. The way a person dress cannot confirm to you that they know God. Even though it's part of it in the long run. I've seen people who have. Do you remember one lady we met some years ago? Without form and void. No makeup, nothing. You remember her? This girl does not know the number of men that she had relationship with in her life. If you look at her, she looks very meek.
Very calm. She is the one that, she is the one that takes herself to the road to look for men. She comes and says, oh, I just like you. And she was so possessed. When we prayed for her, what came out? Ring came out of life. Ring, life came out of her mouth. That is why it is very, very important. Because, see, you don't know people. You don't know people. You don't know content. You may know container, but not content. You may know the moment, but not the future. There are people who can behave good today and become devils tomorrow. Do you understand that? You don't know that the one that was called Lucifer was once Lucifer. The most celebrated angel in heaven. You will not miss it. Your children will not miss it. Your family will not miss it. If it is tomorrow before you miss it, may God show you a dream, a revelation that will scatter everything. In the name of Jesus. Take your seat in the presence of the Lord. Trust God for a partner who truly loves and fears God. In my experience, if anybody really fears and loves God, he will be a good wife. She will be a good wife, a good husband. Number two, decide to marry someone you can listen to and submit to. You can listen to and submit to. What do I mean by that? Someone you respect enough to value their counsel. And I am not just talking about, because when you talk about submission, people think that generally submission means husband is boss and wife is subservient. Well, submission, look at Ephesians chapter 5 verse 21 all the way to verse 22. He said, submitting yourselves. That is both husband and wife. Submit yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives. Now, to be specific, wives, submit yourselves unto one, to your own husbands, as unto the Lord. And husbands, love, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. Then husbands, okay, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. And then after that, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church, and gave himself for it. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Now we can stop there. Where it begins is submitting yourselves one to another. So there is the time the man bends to the counsel of his wife. And there is the time the woman is bending. But he said, if there happens to be a clash for any reason, for that moment, let the woman submit. Wives, submit yourself. But now, the main point here is, anybody you don't think is valuable enough to counsel you, why do you want to marry them? Hello? Anybody you don't think is valuable enough to give you counsel. There is a traditional talk in Africa where they say it's women talk. It's woman wisdom. Who said? He says, submit yourselves one to another. Abigail saved the life of David. It would have been wasted. Saved the life of, what's the name of the man? Nabal. The life of Nabal. David was almost going to waste Nabal. We can go on and on throughout scripture. If you marry, I'm sorry to say this, if you marry a fool, it means your foolishness is more than the one you married.
See, this woman is just a fool. It means that your life is a fertile ground for the production of fools and the raising of fools. You indict yourself for lack of wisdom that made you to choose a fool. This man that I married is a mumu. It means your own mumulity or mumuciousness is worse than the man's mumuciousness. For you saw mumu with your eye and you went to marry mumu. Am I communicating? There are those who don't listen to wife, don't listen to husband, don't listen to anything. What kind of life is this? There are those whose arrogance have destroyed them in time past. Don't marry anyone you cannot submit to. Don't marry anyone whose counsel does not matter. Am I communicating? And let me make this emphatic for our sisters here. That man you cannot respect in courtship. You don't think he knows more than you. Don't marry him. Otherwise, you are signing for frustration for your life. Anyone you don't think has superior wisdom to you as a woman, you don't think he has anything to offer to your life, it's not wisdom to marry them. You can't say sir to him. You can't bend for him. You can't submit to him. Look for who you can submit to. Just look for who you can submit to. Look for who you can defer to. Look for who you can value enough. Look for whose counsel you can listen to. We have a general duty of submission, but the woman has a more specific duty of submission, while the man has a very specific mission of love. Husband, love your wife. Wife, submit to your husband. When it is done very well, it flows. I don't beg my wife to submit to me. She submits to me effortlessly and excitedly. And she doesn't beg me to love her. I love her effortlessly and excitedly. It is a clockwork mechanism. Am I communicating at all? This is very important. Determine that the person you are marrying, you value them enough, you respect them enough to value their counsel. Number three, just one moment. Just a moment. Someone say loud amen. So what was the number one? Please, let's go over it. Let me just trace my bearing. Trust God for a partner. Number two, decide to marry someone you can listen to. Number three, marry someone who values, who truly values, truly values, truly loves and values your family and loved ones. Truly loves and values your family and loved ones. The proof that the person values you is that he or she values your family, values your loved ones. The statement of Ruth, we use it many times during marriages. In Ruth chapter 1 verse 16, when Ruth was talking to Naomi, she said, entreat me not to leave you or to return from following after you. For where you go, I will go. And where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people. And your God shall be my God.
This is classical of any love relationship. Young man, that woman you want to marry did not come out of Iroko 3. It's alright. It came out of a family. A family that groomed her and grew with her. Mother, father, brother, sister. I remember a marriage many years ago. This young girl lost her mother very young and her father raised her up. When she grew, she got a job with one of the institutions that make people to travel out of the country and so on. Foreign mission posters. And it was very lucrative for her. So she decided to help her father to raise the rest of the children, since the father suffered to raise her. And that became a problem from the so-called husband. The man just stepped into her life, has no regard for her history, had no regard for how she grew. Just warn this girl. If the next time you send money to your father, he said, no, I have to help my father raise my siblings. He said, no, that is before we got married, not now. Your money is no longer your money. What a useless man. Those are the kind of men that insult masculinity. Useless man. Put this girl under pressure. Put her under pressure. And on top of that, will be beating the hell out of her. He was a half-level qualification. Had an OND or something. Girl was a graduate, had a car. And that is one other challenge with marrying unequal yoking. And I've said it, ensure that the man is ahead of you. Where necessary and as much as possible. Otherwise, they will come with ego problem, inferiority complex. When they feel like they are less than their wife, they take it out physically. That marriage couldn't succeed. Because it couldn't succeed. By virtue of the fact that you can't help your siblings, by virtue of the abuse and everything, it couldn't work. Am I communicating? You did it. The girl did not hatch out of rock. She came out of a family. Her mother shall become like your mother. Father shall become like your father. That is how life is. And vice versa. You know, there are girls who pray, Lord, may I marry a man whose mother has already died, so that I don't have mother-in-law problem. What a wickedness of heart. So I don't have mother-in-law problem. Who told you there is mother-in-law problem? It depends on how you carry and conduct yourself. And depends on how you and your husband organize your life. The best friend of my mother was my wife. And every time I wanted to send something to my mother, I gave it to my wife. And my wife sent it to her. The two of us are one. So she said, this girl knows how to take care of mother-in-law. And the money is coming from me. Guy, this girl knows how to take care of mother. In fact, if I have many of this type, God bless you. God bless. Every month, no month will pass. She won't send me provision. She will send me wrapper. She will send me money. What did I do to God to find this kind of daughter-in-law? I'll give her the money. She will pass it. I'll give her. If she wants to ask me anything, she will ask her. She is kinder to her than myself in her eyes.
stay like that. It depends on how you run your home. There are people, they are the ones that tear their wife down in front of their mother first. Tear their wife down in front of their father. Call this girl and advise her. You are talking to your mother and father like that? And talking about your wife like that? They will naturally side with you. And naturally deal with this stranger that came to interfere with the peace of their son. But all said and done, wisdom is profitable to direct. Anybody whose family you don't want to accept, look for another person to marry. Did you hear what I just said? Anybody whose family you... Now, don't misunderstand me. There are families like everywhere where you have very wicked family people. Is that correct? Very, very wicked family people. That is an understanding between you and your husband on how to handle such a situation. Okay? It's an understanding. Oh, if your husband himself is aware, he can't even go home because that's a challenge. So you know how to, but other than that, where a family is a neutral, normal, calm family, and you come and because you married, you scatter the home. No unity among siblings anymore because somebody arrived. That's not correct. The Lord will give us help. The Lord will give us understanding. I've seen a woman enter the home and stopped. I think they even wrote a letter to all the relations. Don't near this family. Yes. It was a law. Don't enter this family forever. Siblings, the same mother, the same father. They can't visit their brother's house. You know what happened at the end? The man came down with affliction. And the family that would have normally surrounded him, because who surrounds you determines what you survive. They couldn't be found. When they will arrive, this case has crossroad. And the worst thing that can happen to anybody is to be in suffering and your loved ones are not surrounding you. In Acts chapter 14 verse 20, it was those who surrounded Paul the apostle that caused him to survive when they stoned him to die. They surrounded him and caused him to survive. Please, marry the person. Wow, time is up. The person who truly loves and values your family. That was number three. Number four. Are we going to number four? Number four. Allow zero tolerance for every form of abuse. Zero. Or call it zero allowance. Give zero allowance for every form of abuse. Zero allowance. Give zero allowance. Matthew chapter 7 verse 12 said, whatsoever you will that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Don't do to anybody what you don't want anybody to do to you. And don't submit yourself to be handled in ways that the other person subjecting you to such will not allow to be handled. Many of the things that is called abuse, the signs of it are found in courtship. Many. There are some that escape. And the people only find out that the man is very terrible, or the woman, as the case may be. Because there are times to say, who beat you? My husband. At times it's, who beat you? My wife. There are are people. There are people who is my husband, my wife. Zero allowance. Now, there are degrees of abuse. It could be verbal. Where the after the person has finished talking to you, you don't need cane. How many of you have heard such? How many of you have heard such kind of, their word is worse than naked wire. By the time they finish, there are those who have rendered their wife or their husband a shadow of themselves. This girl has no confidence in public. Because I'm managing you. Look at you, wretched family people. Is it not me who came to your family and made sense in your family? Look at you. By the time they finish talking to this girl or the man, as the case may be, at times they feel like dying. There are people who have felt like that. It's verbal. Some it is emotional. They are not talking. But their silence is worse than their words. They pass as if you don't exist. Welcome, sir. Mm-hmm. You had a great day at work? Emotional. And the emotional things at times can go into deprivation. And I'll come to that shortly. They are smiling with everybody. Once his wife arrives, he keeps a straight face. As if an enemy just arrived. Very brutal. Some deprive their partners, wife especially, of relationship. Months, years passing. As if a stone is not existing. Maybe they are finding it out somewhere. Maybe they have an outside arrangement that is attending to that need of their life. And they are living with a stone. And they don't care whether she gets anything or not. Mental. And the final is physical. I don't consider a man to be a man who can carry a hand and slap a woman. He's not a man. The same person that God gave you to cover, to protect, to defend. Listen to me. Sit down. Peace, peace. Just sit down, sit down. To avoid anybody falling down, just sit down. You cannot fall from a sitting position. Sit down, sit down, sit down, please. Because what I'm talking now, I don't want you to be distracted with falling down. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? Maybe they are finding help from us. Then, this girl or the is just dying. The same person that you should be looking, that anybody... You know what happened to me one day? My wife came home. When we came to Abuja newly, she was still practicing medicine because she practiced about a year and a half before she joined me full time. She came home one day crying. And I said to her, what happened? Her colleague, medical doctor, a man, looked for her trouble in the office. I said, what? Me that is the owner of the wife. I am not making her to cry. It's strange that I want to make her cry. And you are a man like myself. They haven't born you yet. I entered the car and drove like Jehu. Fool! Until I reached the place. Show me the man. When I finished with the man, no physical exchange. It didn't last in that walk for 2 more weeks.
And I didn't talk to anybody to sack him. My presence sacked him. Then someone is enjoying the tears of his wife. I said, I don't consider a man who can carry and hit the wife. If you are interested in fighting, there are many Agbero boys in Area 1 motor park. They are looking, in fact, they are waiting for fight. Very high on ganja. That is where to go. Or go to Kaduna Road and enter the bush. I say you are looking for those who used to catch people. Look for, go to where they are lifting weight. See, somebody say, I'm looking for who to hit or who can hit me. There are some who will hit you with one hand, you won't wake up. And you know, sometimes you don't need to hit the woman before you say, you beat her. If you hold her hand like this, and you hold it tight, small. He has been beating me, sis. What happened? He held my hand. In fact, if you touch the hand now, you can see the mark. Hallelujah. This is my counsel. If you are tired with anybody's child, hand them over to their parents. You took them from somewhere, hand them over their indignity. And if they don't want to hand you over, hand yourself over. Because there are some who could even be addicted to the abuse. They are just addicted. Addicted. There is a syndrome. Addicted to the maltreatment. This is the place where family comes in. This will never be your portion. 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 No verbal, emotional, physical. It's not allowed. Zero allowance. Life is too short to live it in tension. Did you hear what I just said? It's too short to live it in tension. It's too short to live it in tension. It's too short to live it in tension. That was number four, number five. And my time is actually up. In communication, that's number five. Try to see things from the other person's perspective. In communication, try to see things from the other person's perspective. The summary is, try to understand before seeking to be understood. Try to understand before seeking to be understood. James chapter 1 verse 19. James 1:19. He said, Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to get angry. Let your hearing be quicker than your speaking. You and your wife, you have an issue. Maybe she has a point of view that you don't talk. Listen first. Let her explain her stand. And then speak. Vice versa. Listen to your husband first. And here is point out, this matter is heavier on women. Because I'm sure you know how women can talk. Madam. No, wait, let me talk first. You know, from the, you see, the last time when we started talking, I tried my best for you to understand what I'm saying. You didn't understand. Now, I went to the market, and from the market, I passed through my friend's house. And men don't have patience to talk like that. So that's why some brutal men just say, madam, please close your mouth. Close your mouth. Say, why are you trying to slap me? Say, no, I'm trying to ask you to close your mouth. You know, the statistic shows that women talk more words a day than men. That's the truth. Try to understand what a guy is saying. Men, don't talk too much. Understand what he's saying. Understand his point of view. Understand why the matter annoyed him. You know, most times, intentions are perfect, but actions are faulty. The person didn't have a bad intention. He wasn't planning to offend. He wasn't planning to do something wrong. But in the course of doing the thing, it became faulty. So, let us judge people by the intention, not by the action. Just try and understand the intention. Try and understand the intention. Try and understand the intention. Maybe it can calm you down regarding the action. Oh, the action isn't that. Intention wasn't bad after all. Okay, I thought you didn't want to heed my instruction. Oh, no, sir. It's not that I didn't want to heed your instruction. I decided to do this other one first because of this and that. Let us begin to judge, to try to find out the intentions and judge the intentions and pardon the actions. Provided the intentions are correct. Provided the intentions are accurate. Provided the mindset is correct. Judge the intention and pardon the action. Number 6, I have one more. And then we are true. In communication, try to understand before being understood. Number, is it 6 now? 6. Be friendly. Be friendly. Maintain friendliness with your spouse. Proverbs chapter 18 verse 24. A man that has friends must show himself friendly. Be friendly. Avoid over-officialness. Over-officialness. I mentioned it in the first service. Official husband. Official wife. Lubricate your relationship with friendliness. Don't be more friendly with outsiders than with your wife or husband. It's an aberration. More friendly with someone else than your wife, especially of the opposite sex, or than your husband is not correct. Create the atmosphere. There are those who smile for everybody until they, like I just said, the husband arrives for the wife and then everything dries up. Let me tell you the truth. If your best friend is not your spouse, something is wrong somewhere. Can anything be closer to you than your bone? This is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. Something is wrong somewhere. I'm not saying something is wrong with you. It may be wrong with the spouse, but something is wrong somewhere. If your best friend, your closest coming, best friend, closest confidant. And like I said before, my wife, I don't have my checkbook in my possession. The other, last week, she wasn't around for a few days. And I wanted to give a sacrificial offering in the church. And I needed a check. I had to send. And she had to give direction to as to where it is, not to me now, to one of the people. Go here, and pick the check. It's in her possession. Pick it and give it to me. And they picked it and gave it to me and I signed. The question is, since it is her possession, can she make any demand, any day, anyhow? No. Can she sign it? She's not signatory. There are people you can't do that for them. They will be asking you for money every day. Some may even forge your signature. Until they watch the money disappear. That is why most times you can't compare yourself with other people. Because human beings are different. They will feel the list will arrive. You just look at yourself. What is account? Okay, it's account balance. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Excuse me, sir. There is something I have been trying to tell you. You know that I have suspended this for 6 months now. I couldn't buy it. But now, before you know it, you realize that you enter one chance. So the atmosphere must be created. Atmosphere must be created for trust. Atmosphere must be created for friendliness. Atmosphere must be created such that if your husband is friendly with you and vice versa, you don't take each other for granted. How are you? Did you hear what I just said? At times I tell my wife, Beko. I will just be gisting with such a, I can use any of such words. That doesn't disappear, sir, from her mouth. This morning, sir. It can't disappear it. Please make life easy for yourself. Dissolve the tension from your family and determine to maintain friendliness. Lift up your right hand and say, Father, I receive the grace. I receive that grace. I receive that grace for friendly relationship. I receive it now in the name of Jesus. Was that number 6? All right. Number 7, which is the final. It's the same like number. It's almost the counterpart of number 6. Find quality time together to activate relationship bonding. Quality time together to activate relationship bonding. Bonding in the relationship. Quality time together. Quality time is bonding time. Bonding time. Bonding time. What do you do to use the time for? You see in Genesis chapter 26 and in verse 8, Isaac was spending quality time with his wife. And it came to pass when he had been there a long time that Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked out at the window and saw, and behold, Isaac was spotting
with Rebecca, his wife, spending time, quality time. What do you spend the time doing? Anything that is of mutual interest. It might be study. It might be praying. It might be reading. Anything that all of you like to do. Anything. No matter how little the time is. Both with wife, children, quality time, bonding time. Like I said in the last service, these times are times where you facilitate mutual fulfillment and satisfaction. Quality time. As busy as we are, God still gives us the grace. Time with children, no matter how small. Time with family. Quality time is bonding time. We live in a very high-paced world. We live in a very, very high speed world. We live in a world where you can become so busy for what is most important in your life. What is most important? Your faith is first and your family is next in order of importance. Faith first, family next in order of importance. No matter how crowded and how scheduled your life is, don't neglect time, no matter how little it is, with your family. I believe that the Lord will help us in Jesus' name. I have not finished the preaching. I'll continue next Sunday. But has somebody been blessed so far? Give the Lord a shout of praise and stand up with the Lord a shout of victory. Louder, louder shout of victory. Loud most shout of victory. By next Sunday, I will let you know that knowing who you are married to is a journey of life. I've been married for 28 years. There are things into eight. There are things I am still learning of my wife and things she's learning of me. It's a journey. And this bonding time is learning time. Bonding time. This time is learning time. It's a new day for you. It's a new day for you. It's a new day for us. Someone say a loud amen. Someone say a loud amen. And like I said, the things that are of interest to everybody. For example, if you ask me now, let's go out for shopping. It is like telling... it's like offering kola nut to goat or something. You are talking to yourself. One day we traveled out of this country and they say, there is a, let's go to a shop or something, something shopping. I say, okay, let me try. By the time I arrive there, everybody was just trying to look at something, and for me, I was like fish out of water. After I looked around for a while, I said, excuse me, people. Please, can you people refund me back to the hotel? Just refund me. I'm out of place. The word was refund. But if we get to the garden and we are sitting down, like a picnic setting, someone is studying, someone is reading, someone is bringing a discussion, and so on. I'm in my elements. And so on and so forth. Things that is of mutual interest to everybody. But you know something? In the name of Jesus, you will not fail. Anybody who is saying amen, say loud amen. Can you lift up your hands and appreciate the Lord for the word you just heard today? Marital relationship and marital wisdom. Lift your voice and lift your hands. Appreciate Him. Appreciate the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the I Am that I Am, for His word to you today. Father, thank you for your word to me today. I give you the praise. I give you the honor. I give you the adoration. In Jesus' precious name. Lift your hands and say after me, say, Father,
Thank you
for your word
to my life.
Today,
I receive
the grace
to function
in marital
and relationship
wisdom.
I receive
that grace
now
in the name of Jesus.
Open your mouth
and speak to God
and thank
and receive that grace.
I receive that grace.
Precious name.
I like us to take authority over every anti-marital spell. There are people who have battles, maybe from the family lineage, real battles. You cannot say this is their fault, yet marriage is not working. And it didn't work for their brother or sister or family, extended family. It's a curse, anti-marital curse. Some can't get married by the same curse. Lift your voice and say, Father.
Father.
Open your mouth and say after me, say, Father.
Father.
I take authority,
Over every
anti-marital,
curse,
witchcraft,
occulting,
and soulish
prayers
against
my future
and marital
destiny.
I declare
you
satanic
desire
concerning
my
future
and marital
destiny.
You are frustrated
now.
Again, Father,
I take
authority
over
every
anti-marital
curse,
witchcraft,
occulting,
and
soulish prayers
against my future,
against
my marital
destiny.
I declare
you
satanic
desire
concerning
my
future
and
my marital
destiny.
You are
frustrated
now.
In the name of
Jesus, open your mouth and
pray.
Precious name. Lift up your hands and place the final point, the third point of prayer on the screen. Say, Father,
Father,
I come before you.
I come before you.
I receive your grace.
I receive your grace.
Your help.
Your help.
And your mercy.
And your mercy.
To do it well.
To do it well.
This prayer applies to those who have not yet married at all. Doing it well means finding the right person and starting marriage well. There are those who are married and the marriage is a bit shaky. Lord, grace to do it well. There are those who are married before and they are single currently. Grace to do it well. To step, to be reestablished by your help and to do it well. I want to beg everyone here. Please let nobody go home. I heard of a couple some years ago after a service like this. Or God will re-preach the message. Madam, sit down. Let's sit down. You see, this message, they preach. I'm sure you can see yourself inside this message. Let's start it one by one. Point number one. I'm sure you know that it is you pastor is talking to. For your information, I didn't tell him anything. Okay, that's number one. Number two. Now, the message I preach now is not up to 1 hour. Or God will preach it for 3 hours. Don't do that. And let nobody tell the husband. It's you. See now. What I have been telling you, pastor has said it.
How many of you know that that will worsen the crisis at home? You have spoiled everything. You spoiled everything. Okay. Pastor has said that. You mean pastor is talking to me? Okay, let pastor come to the house here now. And force me to love you. You just spoiled everything. Don't go and take it out on the other person. Take what is yours. Apply it to your life. Let the other person take what is theirs. And don't look down on your wife or your husband because a particular point appeared to be convicting. Don't do that. That's not godly. Jesus told that woman, he said, if anyone is without sin, he should cast the first stone. Don't. Don't. Just trust God. We have received the word. If the man is at fault, you are at fault too. We have received the word. Let this word help us to be successful. Lift up your hands and your voice and say after me, say, Father.
Father.
Say it louder, say, Father.
Father.
I come before you.
I come before
and
you.
I receive your grace.
And I receive your grace.
I receive your help.
I receive your
I
help.
Receive your mercy.
I receive your mercy.
So do it well.
So do it well.
I receive it.
I receive it.
Now. In the name of Jesus. Precious name, so shall it be. Lift up your hands. Please, I want every exit to be secured until we share the grace in 10 minutes time to avoid distraction. Father, thank you for this moment. Blessed be your name for your word. I am aware that there are people here today. The most important thing you need to do is to hand over your life to Jesus Christ. If you are in that category, pray this prayer after me. Mean it. That is, you want to be forgiven of your sins. You want addictions broken. Negative lifestyle. Pray this prayer after me and say, Lord Jesus. Say it louder. Lord Jesus, I am a sinner in need of your help. Come into my life and make me a new person. Today I have decided to follow you, Lord, and no turning back. Forward ever, backward never. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Those who pray that prayer, you meant it. Can I see your hand? Wave your hand and let me see. Wave it high. Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. Wave your hands. That's right.
Lord, I give you
quickly
my
come
soul.
To the altar here. Let me pray for you.
Give you my
the rest
soul.
Of us can take our seats. Quickly. Quickly, quickly, come forward.
Every step that I take,
every moment. Just one moment. I can see that we are coming out very sluggishly. You want to give your life to Jesus. You want to rededicate yourself. You want today to mark a new day for you. You are not happy with the way you have lived. You want addictions broken. Fraud. Crime. Wickedness, masturbation, stealing, lying, cheating, duping, bitterness, unforgiveness, gambling. You want that yoke broken. Quickly rush to the front. I'll give you the count of seven. Let's go. One.
Lord, I give you my
two.
Lord, I give you my soul. I'll live for you.
Three.
Every moment, Lord, have your way in me.
Place your right hand on your chest, everyone standing here, and pray this prayer with me. Say after me, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner in need of your help. Come into my life. Make me a new person. Today, I have decided to follow you, Lord. No turning back. From today, I go forward ever, backward never. The grace to live for you and to do your will, I receive that grace now. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. I pray for you today. I declare the hold of the enemy broken. The grace to live for God be released upon you. And I call it done in Jesus' name. God bless you.